Okay, second question. How many people have heard that Satan itself exists or coexists with God? If you have heard that kind of thing, please raise your hand. Okay, quite a bit. Okay. Yeah. The third question is, how many people believe Satan itself exists? How many people believe Satan itself exists? Okay. Okay. All right. So, now I understand the situation better. There is one thing before we go on to study the doctrine of demonology, the origin of Satan. The golden rule is that everything we believe had to come from Bible. If Bible didn't say, that is outside of belief, even though it might seem logical. Correct? Fair? This is the rule we have to abide to. Because if you look at our basic belief, the second basic belief is that saying that this Bible that we have is the sole standard of our belief. That's the only basis that we have. So we have to grasp upon this principle very tight. Okay. So let's, before I actually talk about the origin of Satan, let me briefly tell you what's our church stance on this issue. Our church stance on this issue is that we believe, the church believe that Satan is fallen angel and God created everything. And yes, some of you have heard there's some kind of theories maybe out there that is kind of different from our church. But our church continue to hold fast to it because there's several reasons for it. First is that we, based on Bible, we so far cannot find any solid basis for such doctrine saying Satan itself exists to be established. Okay? So our church, in a way, prohibit people to talk such things about Satan self exist. Just like foot washing, right? We know that foot washing is a doctrine in our church. But if anybody against it or disagree with it, say we don't need foot washing, it's all right. Just send a proposal, send your question to IA, and write down your reason why. But then at this time, the church will continue to believe the foot washing is our practice related to salvation. We're not going to change because somebody say, I had other opinion. Do you guys understand? So that if Satan itself exists or not, right now currently we are holding to this belief that Satan is fallen angels and created by God. So this leads us to our next discussion or things that we had to discuss. That Satan is fallen angel and God created everything. Have you ever, in a debate, have you ever experienced in a debate where person A criticizes person B, say, you are wrong, so therefore I'm right, right? And then person B criticizes person A, no, you're wrong, you see, this part is your wrong part, okay? Since you're wrong, I'm right, right? So people argue like that, or not argue, like debate like that. Do you think there will be ever a conclusion? There's a third possibility. If they both happen to be right, they happen to be criticized the same thing, I mean, criticized correctly, then there's a third result, is they both are wrong, right? You say, you are wrong, you're wrong. And then finally they say, I'm right because you're wrong. But you got to also prove yourself why you are right too, correct? So let's first discuss what is wrong with this phrase, did God create Satan? I remember a brother asked me, right? Did God create Satan? Why God create Satan? And when I heard that question, it was a very, very tricky question. Okay, by no means, he didn't, you know, he just thought about it and he just asked. And this question to me is as if somebody was asking me, somebody come up to me and very upset, say, your question, right? God's kind, right? Yes, I say yes. And he asked me, did God create Osama bin Laden? Did God create Osama bin Laden? How you gonna answer? If you say yes, God's not kind. If you say no, then Where does Osama bin Laden come from? Self exist? Do you understand? Or created by Satan? You see, what I try to say is, let's first study this phrase. Let's first study this phrase. Did God create Satan? Okay? The answer, if you say yes, then God's something wrong with God, right? Because Satan is evil. How can God create evil, right? If you say no, then you get 2 points. Then the conclusion, right? The C part. Conclusion is what? Satan is self-exist. Now, in this kind of logic, in this kind of sentence, there is traps. You have to be very, very clear. For example, let me illustrate this, okay? A, B, C, okay? Can you see this statement? Okay? In this world, there are statements like this, where A can also equal to B. At the same time, A can also not equal to B. Okay? And people draw conclusions. For example, let me use an example, okay? Gray. Okay? Gray. You know gray is combined of black and white, right? Some people say, look at that carpet. Oh, it's so dark, right? So dark, right? So I say gray is black. Right? That's my conclusion. Correct? Or, let me say. Gray is not black. So it's white. What I'm trying to say is, this kind of thing, it can go either way. If you choose black, I go white. If you choose white, I go black. It can simultaneously exist at the same time, depending how you look at it. For example, we just discussed about the question about, did God create Osama bin Laden? Okay? Now, think about it. Bible tells us, right, we are created by God, right? God help us to maintain ourselves so we can able to exist. Okay? And Osama bin Laden, if he was 20 years ago, if we were to ask, is Osama bin Laden created by God? What would you say? Yes, Osama bin Laden created by God because he's good. Or so far he's nobody, you know, a little person in the world. Okay? No big deal. But now he did something evil. He master planned this 9/11 event, right? So sometimes we combine the concept of Osama bin Laden, this person, being, okay? This being, with what? What he did, right? And with his name. We all merge together. We put all together. And we ask, did God create Osama bin Laden? The problem of that is, are you referring to his being? Or are you talking about the evil thing that he do? Or are you talking about the name that he has? Do you understand? So asking this question is tricky. Why tricky? Because the concept is all mixed together. We have to separate it clearly. Then we can talk, discuss clearly. So because it's all mixed together, there's various factors in there. So when the God Osama bin Laden, you can go either way. Depend how you want to prove your point. And this kind of is false logic. Okay, I might have to be clear. Okay, now, because this statement, did God create Satan? It's pretty much like this. Okay, sometimes we didn't think about Satan is what, fallen angel or something. Sometimes we say Satan is just evil. Just as sometimes we think of Osama bin Laden is evil. But the thing is, how about before? Right? So sometimes we have this connotation. Doesn't make sense. So God cannot create evil, so therefore Satan still exists. So there is a fallacy in this kind of logic. Okay? Later we'll discuss more what we need to be aware of. Okay? So we cannot use this kind of question to prove Satan still exists.
self-exist. Correct? Do you agree? Because it's all mixed together. Now, there's two parts to it. This part, put question mark. A equal B. If it can be both. Anybody ask you such a question? A equal B, and it can be equal. Be careful, because it's a trap. Okay? Now, next thing we had to discuss about is the drawing to conclusion, this arrow. So if A equal B, therefore, or A not equal to B, therefore go to C. Okay? Our basis is in the Bible. Does this have Bible basis? Think about it. Did God create Satan? Our answer is no. Unequal, right? Now, conclusion. If we say Satan itself exists, where is the Bible verse? Can somebody give me a Bible verse to prove it? You got to have Bible verse. You cannot just base on logic. Say, since God cannot create evil, Satan, therefore Satan itself exists. We got to have Bible verse. Do you understand? That's where our faith is based upon. It may be sound logical, but I don't care. I want to see where does Bible say that. Anybody? I know I gave some people some time, a couple of days, to think about. Can you find a verse for me that Satan self exists? To prove, a direct verse, Satan self exists. No. Oh, okay. Okay. Anybody? No, okay. If you ever find one, let me know. Call me the first. I'm the first one you call up, okay? Don't tell other people. Call me first. Okay? I want to know. Okay? So, in this kind of logic, if we use this logic to prove Satan self exists, this doesn't stand because this part, A equal B or A is not equal to B, is a fallacy. It's double trap. Okay? Either way, it's a trap. Second, does it have any verse to prove the conclusion? No. Okay? So, this is the first part, prove what's wrong with it. Okay, now I'm going to prove to you what does Bible say. Okay, now the statement is Satan is fallen angel, right? God created everything. Now, first I want to prove to you that Satan is fallen. What we mean by fallen means he committed sin. Okay, now usually our church used the passage in Isaiah 14. Let's turn to that. Isaiah chapter 14. Can you give me an NKJV Bible, please? Isaiah chapter 14. This is the passage that we often quote to say Satan is a fallen angel, right? Now, can somebody read in the NKJV once for me from verse 12? Let's see. Somebody have NKJV Bible? Raise your hand. Go ahead. 12, yeah, come on. Okay, continue. 13 or 14. Continue, please.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most high. Yet you shall be brought down in Sheol.
Sheol, okay.
To the lowest depth of the pit.
Okay, that's good. So we read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. And I know that in the past, we haven't encountered such a problem. And the person who taught it just talked about it, that Satan's fallen angel quote this verse. And that's it, end of it, okay? But then, you know, as we progress, some people are getting smarter and smarter. Well, or some people tend to see things in different aspects. And people ask that, well, I don't quite agree with this chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, because it's not really clear, isn't it? Some people say, Lucifer, how do you know Lucifer is Satan? Can somebody tell me, can you find evidence that Lucifer is Satan? Or another name of Satan? No, right? I cannot, right? And some people say, how do you know this is talking about Satan? All right? So some people say, outright just reject it, say this passage does not apply to Satan, so Satan's not a fallen angel. But this is because in the past we haven't encountered such a problem, and we're often taking for granted that Satan's a fallen angel. But then we must go in depth of the Bible to find what does Bible say. Is this passage referring to Satan? Something for us to think. But I want to show you a passage. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Here talk about the criteria, the qualification of the bishop, right? Look carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Right? And it's mentioned a lot of criteria. Becky, can you read verse 6?
Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil.
Good. Thank you. So in this passage, we can see Paul, right? He was mentioning about the qualification of the elders. And one of them is he should not be somebody who just recently believed. Why? Because he might easily become proud. He doesn't know how to deal with pride or temptation when it comes. And when he become proud, Paul said in his mind, he will fall into the same judgment, or some versions say, same condemnation as Satan, as devil. So what was in Paul's mind of Satan? In Paul's mind, Satan was someone become proud, and God condemned him. Okay? So in this passage, we can see Satan did sin. Well, that devil did sin. And the verse that we've been always using, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, is correct. It was referring to Satan. He was proud, describing he was proud. Okay? So the verse, the second point is that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, that Satan sin. But we haven't finished yet. We still have to prove that he's an angel created by God. Right? We had to prove that he was created. Before he sinned, he was created by God. Because some people might say, okay, he committed sin, but it doesn't mean that God created him. He can maybe still self-exist. He just offended God. Right? Some people can say that. So we have to look at this verse. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Here specifically tells us that by him all things were created, that are in heaven and also on earth. Visible and invisible. So let me ask you a question. Does this verse including the angel before he sinned? Oh, in other words, does this verse include Satan, basically, before he fell? He created all things, visible and invisible, heaven and earth. Okay? I'd like to ask, who believe that this verse does not include Satan? Raise your hand. Anybody? Let me repeat the question. Maybe you don't quite understand. You read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, right? This verse, does this verse including the angel before he was fallen? Just read the context, okay? Paul basically is saying everything, heaven, earth, invisible, are created by him. So if we read this Bible and say, and we always had this preconcept, say Satan self exists. So when we read this passage, right? I'll say, of course not. This verse does not include Satan. Okay? Because the problem is we already have this preconcept in our heads that Satan self exists. So therefore, this verse does not incorporate Satan in there. But the things I want to ask is, if we have such a preconcept in our head, okay, we must have Bible basis. You got to find a Bible verse to show that Satan self exists. So therefore, you can say this verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, is not talking about Satan. Does not including Satan. Do you understand? If you don't have a verse, you cannot say, I'm going to continue the way I think. I'm going to read it with a preconcept, a thought in my head already. Then we are not reading our Bible. We are reading into the Bible. We are reading not as what Bible is telling us. We are reading as what we want to hear. Do you understand? So, number one, there is no basis, no Bible verse saying Satan still exists. Second, so when we read a verse, it's basically saying God created everything. And that, this is not the only verse that says so. If you would look at all the passages, like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who create all things through Jesus Christ. So Paul's mind say, all things. Okay, there's one more verse. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. 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 You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Okay? Here, the writer, John, also said that these saints were saying, God, you create all things. By your will, they all created, existed. Okay? There's not one thing that we cannot see that is besides Satan or whatever. So there's many passages mentioning God created all things, invisible, visible, anything, principality, power, dominion, all created by God. But then the thing is, the church cannot accept Satan still exists because the church did not find any Bible basis that says Satan itself exists. We must base on Bible. Okay? So the next verse that we quoted is Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, and Ephesians and Revelation. What we just mentioned is to show that God created all things. So Satan is simply a being that God created. Later on, he sinned, and God threw him down. Okay? Any questions? Yes, Grace? Okay, it's basically, sin is not like something you can see, but it's when a person or angel choose to disobey God, and to God, that is a crime, okay? So once we go to heaven, we still need to obey God, okay? And what heaven's like, I don't know. And if there's I don't think there's any more temptation there. Okay? So, what's in heaven, I do not know exactly. But what I can tell you is from the Bible, that first, we talk about, did God create Satan? This statement has fallacy, has problem in there. Okay? Does that have any proof? No. And then I come back and talk about, did Satan sin? And who created everything? It's God. Okay, to show that Yes, Oscar.
Uh-huh. That he's the first. So that should be the first one, so good looking and perfect.
So what's your question exactly?
Uh-huh.
He's not the first one created. Okay, he was created beautifully, yes. Mm-hmm. With power, yes. Okay? And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, he was proud. Okay? God condemned him. And so we use Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15 to describe more vividly why he was proud of. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about application. Okay. This, right? What do we learn? A couple things. Application. Beware of
this kind of statement.
Beware of this kind of statement. Whenever you hear this kind of statement, immediately be watchful. Don't answer right away. Why? Let me show you. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Please turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Do you know how the devil tempted the Lord? It says, if you are the Son of God, right? Then, do this. Right? If you are Son of God, do this. Okay? This statement is pretty much just like this equation we have here. Okay? Imagine if we are the Lord and the devil asks us, hey, if you are the Son of God, do this. Okay? Two things in our head. Okay? One is, am I the Son of God? Because it's like, if you are Son of God. So you start to wonder, maybe I'm not, right? I'm equal. Maybe I'm not. If I'm not, what should I do? Maybe I should do what he said to prove I'm Son of God. Or you can think, equal, I am the Son of God. So I will show you doing this to show you I'm Son of God for sure. Okay? Get it? This question, if you are the Son of God, is a trap. Wake up. So there's a lot of statement in this world asking this kind of question, but it's double trap. No matter how you answer, you fell into it. Get it? But how did the Lord reply? The Lord reply is this point. Okay? Satan say this thing, but the Lord basically does acknowledge. He didn't want to prove that he's the Son of God or not. He didn't even bother to answer it. What he tried to answer is, can we do this? Right? And what did the Lord say? Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Because Satan was asking him to change the stone into bread. So the Lord used Bible verse to clarify this point, to show this point. Okay? So he didn't do this. So whatever this is to teach us, whatever people say, you know, some people can give a lot of description to A and B, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then get to the conclusion. Therefore, it's this. We had to be aware. For example, like when the Lord is on earth, right? People say, oh, we know that you are a teacher that, you know, does not show favoritism. You are upright. You speak the truth, right? And the next question is what? Are we supposed to give taxes, you know, pay taxes? Don't listen to all those words in the front. Don't hear. Just listen to the end. What is that person trying to get at? And does that person try to get at, does any direct Bible verses to support it? Do you get it? Okay? So in this world, there's so many this kind of questions. Okay? One more, okay? This is Sometimes Satan put thoughts into our heart. Okay? Ah, A equal B. Look at this woman is so beautiful. Right? You see, so sometimes in our mind, we see somebody, right? Oh, this woman is beautiful, right? It's pretty. And then what's the conclusion? Chase after her, right? But, you know, even a Gentile, okay, chase after them, marry them, okay? And we have to think this point, okay? What does the Bible say? Do not yoke with unbelievers, right? So a lot of our thinking goes like this. A, question mark, B, go to conclusion C, okay? So is this part we have to show, is the Bible basis or not, okay? This first application. Second application. Satan is proud. Isaiah chapter 14, it just shows us one thing that he was proud of. Okay? And I want to ask you, what are the manifestations of pride? What are the manifestations of pride? This is an application. And how can we overcome it? Initially, I was going to give this to you as a homework. But then the counselor later said, we don't have a tie, right? Okay, no. Okay, so I won't. But the thing is, since they won't, we had to discuss about what a manifestation of pride. So that we will not go through the same condemnation as Satan. This is the application for our life. And there are a couple of things that we need to be aware of. Manifestation of pride. I listed there are here 12. There are at least 12 manifestations of pride. I don't think we can discuss them in detail and describe them in detail, because there's about another 12 of ways to overcome pride too. If we have 20 minutes left, if I finish it, we probably don't have time for other things. So I'll just briefly talk about it. First, pride shows in a way that a person is proud of something or want to show off that something that person has. And this is quite a bit. This is both physical and spiritual. Okay? Show off or proud of. Show off. Proud of. Okay. This is physical and spiritual. And what people are proud of their physical things. And this is something we do. Status, okay? I tell you, having a title as a preacher is a temptation, okay? Really, I'm not kidding, okay? People call pastor, preacher, right? But don't, in our heart, must be very clear. Don't be deceived by status. It can come and go, okay? Not because I'm preacher, therefore I'm qualified to become preacher. Or I'm good. It doesn't mean that. Okay? So sometimes people, because call somebody has certain status, people are proud of that thing. Or just like fallen angel, he was proud of something that God gave it to him. And this is something God gave. Second, age. Some people say, because I'm older, therefore, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, you just had to obey me. Right? In that way, we are showing proud because, you know, age. Or some people are proud of the young. You're so old. I'm so young. That's not right either. Okay? Beauty. Yeah. We know that. Right? Look at that person. Look at me. Better. Or money. Or talents. Possessions. Right? David counting men. He counts how much possession he has. Look at my power. And he was punished by God. And we also discussed about Hezekiah trying to show off. Right? Show off what he has. And was punished. Also, knowledge, worldly knowledge, experience. I have so much experience. What do you know? Okay? Well, we judge case by case, not because I have experience, therefore everything that I say is right. Okay? And sometimes people are proud because of the recognition, the respect people give it to them, because they have worked for so many years. Those are the things that a person can possibly become proud of. And be careful. Those things can either help us or stumble us. These things are neutral, depending on how we look at it. And this is a spiritual pride too, that because we're doing what's right, like we're keeping Sabbath, And look at those people who doesn't. I'm better because I keep Sabbath. It doesn't mean Sabbath is only one of the things that we need to keep. And we have to do it too. So some of the people, because they do certain things and they are proud of. And like Job, in the end, right? He said he did a lot of good deeds. He did not sin. That's true. But then God later on talked to him in Job chapter 38. Let's turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Let's look at Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40, verse 8. Will you indeed annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Okay. While he was talking to his three friends, his friends basically condemned him. He said, there's no way you are righteous. Okay. But God said that there's no one like Job. And the problem is that while he was talking to these three friends of his, he keeps saying the things I did right. In a way, and he has so much pain, so therefore he kind of urges things, you know, why God? You know, he basically, in one way, he kind of expressed that God did something wrong, possibly. Okay? And so God spoke up and said, would you condemn me to justify yourself? And this sometimes, that's what we do, okay? That we do something right. And some people criticize us. And we show, look at what I think I do right. And, you know, what do you do? Nothing. Okay? We don't need to do that. We just keep silent. Okay. This is one of the things we can become proud of. Another thing that we can become have spiritual pride is inner beauty. Sometimes we have this gentleness, you know, a quietness in our heart. And sometimes we want to show off to people. Say, look at me. What's inside my heart? Okay, we just live our life. If people see it, don't see it, don't see it. Okay, we don't need to show it. We need to be careful of that. And also, when we speak, sometimes people would like to show to other people that they are very spiritual, very powerful. And so when they speak, they purposely speak louder, very loud. Okay, not because they want people to hear, but they want to impress that I'm powerful, therefore I speak loud. We don't need to do that. We speak what we have to speak. Okay, if people cannot hear, we just raise our voice a little bit. Okay, and there's a lot of things that we do, like Bible knowledge, or our experience with God, relation with God, how much time we spend to show off on somebody. We don't need to do that. Of course, some people ask. We can say it as, you know, what we know to help them, but we don't say it or show it to show that how good we are. Okay, so this is pride. To show off. This is first category. There are 12 of them. The second one is despise. If you become proud, and very naturally, one way to show your pride is despise others. That person is not as good as me. Therefore, he's little, you know, very little. Value very little. And that's not right. Okay? So if we despise others, and not having a very good reason, okay? Because, you know, for example, He did not, it's just something that God gives. Somebody have, God give them a beautiful appearance. You know, and we sometimes despise others because they're ugly. Then, that's, we are despising the wrong way. Okay? And the third way people show manifest their pride is, I want to be number one. There's nothing wrong to learn something good from other people, right? And learn from them and practice in our life. That we can do. But the thing is, sometimes people have this attitude. I want to be that guy. I want to be better than them. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? We just, everybody has different talents given by God. We just do our best. We don't have to be number one. Just like the devil in the Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I want to go up to the mountain of God and see the, in the highest place. And we can see that if he was self-exist, he doesn't say, I want to go to the highest place and sit in the throne of God. He doesn't have to say that. He's already self-exist. He's already God already. But he wants to be like God, like in the way that his glory and his power. And to be like God. That's highest you can go. Okay. He was condemned. Okay? So let's not have that kind of attitude. That I want to be number one. We just serve others with the best ability we can. And love God. Okay? Be careful of that kind of pride. And the fourth one is feel content in certain aspects. Paul have given us a very good example. He said that he had not obtained it, but he continued to strive forward, forgetting what's behind. Same thing with filled with Holy Spirit. Don't say, you know what, I prayed in NYTS for 2 weeks, 2 hours a day. That's enough. I had enough. No, we continue to pursue. Continue to pray. Continue to fill with Holy Spirit. And we cannot say Bible knowledge. Say, oh, I know enough already. I read the entire Bible once. We need to continue to pursue. Pride will make a person to become lukewarm. We can feel content, self-sufficient. We need to continue to equip ourselves. Just because of time, let me read off the list. The fifth way people manifest pride is that they don't feel like they need God's guidance. They trust themselves. So think about it. Sometimes we do that like that too. I can do it. I don't need God's guidance or, you know, trust in himself. That's a pride too. Six, don't feel to, that person doesn't feel that he need to give thanks to God. Very naturally, proud. Well, he's supposed to do it because he's a servant. Hezekiah was healed by God, but he did not give thanks to God. And God was about to punish him, but then he repented right before it, so God did not punish him. And Bible says he was proud. He did not give thanks. So a proud person doesn't feel like he need to give thanks because he feel like that person is supposed to do it for me. But a humble person feel like he's unworthy to receive it. Okay? The seventh way people manifest the pride is that they cannot be corrected. They insist on their own way. They cannot be even criticized. Say, I got to do it my way. People say, no, this is wrong. And indeed, he's wrong. But he said, I want to do it my way. Don't correct me. People don't listen. So that's, in a way, it's a pride too. Eighth way of showing self, having pride is that that person have a self-ambition or sees one glory. He has certain desire he want to achieve to show something that he's somebody. But what did Jesus do while he was on earth? He said, I came here to seek God's glory, not my own glory. Anybody who speak for himself sees his own glory. Not with Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't have any self-ambition in his heart. Okay? We can look at, do we have any self-ambition in our hearts? Do we have a certain goal, like in church, I want to be somebody. To show that I'm somebody. The ninth way is that they overestimate themselves. They're thinking too highly of themselves. For example, like the wedding banquet. The Lord told us about. That some people walk in, they feel like I'm so-and-so with certain title. So therefore, I decide to sit on the most noble seat or second noble seat, right? They think highly of themselves. But the Lord taught them, take the lower status. Seat it on the lower noble seat. Okay? So the ninth way is people showing that they think highly of themselves, too high. And the tenth way, people manifest their pride is that jealousy. Because their pride will naturally produce jealousy. Just like, somebody's better than me, how can it be? So become jealous of them. So if we're jealous, we have pride. And the 11th way is double standard. You might say, what does double standard have to do with pride? Because I've seen it. People with pride, they feel like they can slander others, they can criticize others. But then, when people slander them or criticize them, they say, no, you cannot do that, right? For them, it's all right to say it to them, criticize and slander them. But it's not all right for other people to slander him, right? So it's double standard. Okay, so pride will produce a lot of double standard. You cannot do this, but I can. I have special status. The 12th of manifestation of pride is that dissension. How come there's somebody arguing? How come there's always striving, chaotic? Somebody has pride causing it. And that's why the Bible says whenever there's self-ambition or pride, there will be dissension. Okay? So these are the 12 manifestation categories of manifesting of pride. And if you have any category, let me know, so I can add to my list. So serve as my spiritual cultivation. And how to overcome them, I'll mention some of them. But one thing we need to do is always give thanks. Acknowledge God. It's God who gives us all things. We have to kneel before God, not just talk as much as we want to God, but that actually God's before us, the God's almighty. So powerful. Imagine he created everything. Who am I? Think about how the things that he created and compared to us. How much do we know? So if we're able to experience God, we'll get into it and see God as God Almighty in front of us. Really, we are nothing in this world. Okay? And that will also remind us that we are actually nothing. And another thing that we can do is always remind ourselves, write on a piece of paper and stick on your wall, so that we are servants. Keep remembering, we are servants. If we don't remind ourselves, I can tell you that sometimes people forgot about themselves, who they are. They thought they are a preacher, or they thought they are so elder deacons. But for us, we keep reminding ourselves, we are servants. We are the servants. We are the servants. So reminding ourselves is very important. There's other things we can do. Okay, respect others. Okay, take a lower position. So if a preacher or servant, we take the position of servants, serving others. Okay. So prayer is also important too, to put to death our sinful natures. So because the time is almost up, before we conclude, these are the two applications. Okay, the first is the logic, beware of that kind of logic, okay? Second is that the manifestation of pride and how to overcome them. Any questions? Yes, Joshua? Satan is what? Resolved? Result, right. Right, right. Lucifer, yeah, he's an angel, but we say Satan, yeah, is a result of fallen angel, yes.
Okay, now before the angel fell, can we say the angel was given the free will to choose what he or she wanted to choose, and that angel chose to disobey, and in the end...
Yes, in the Bible, we do see that angel have a free choice. Okay. But then once they made a wrong decision, then they don't have a choice.
Okay.
Depend on the mercy of God.
Okay.
Yes. What's the thing in the Garden of Eden?
Snake.
Huh?
Serpent.
Okay. What's the serpent in the Garden of Eden? Okay. Usually we say the serpent is Satan. Okay. Let's stop for a while. Okay. At that time, when Eve was talking to serpent, he is actually a serpent, a physical serpent with legs. Okay. Before the Lord cursed him to have no leg and crawl on his tummies. Okay? So Eve was talking to physical snake. Okay? But then because that snake tempted Eve and confused God's word and then, you know, tell lies to Eve. Okay? Therefore that snake has become a symbol of Satan. Okay? And Satan does not necessarily look like a snake. Okay? Get it? How he get what? The Garden of Eden. How? Very good. We have to discuss that in next period class. Okay? We'll discuss it. This is only two aspects talking about the origin of Satan. We'll go into depth. Okay? So...